puke. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday. Starting to get my feet back under me a little bit. Michelle and I, after the long weekend, trying to get moving in the right direction again. And thank God that our little granddaughter Macy, 6 years old today. Where would we be today without Macy? God bless Macy. So I'm going to take her to breakfast this morning after the show, go get her a great big old pancake and put a candle in the middle of it and just rejoice over the life of that precious little granddaughter. I was spent a lot of time the last 24, 48 hours, kind of, I don't want to call it the afterglow, but the afterflow of the Russ Dizdar event and Tom Dunn and his team and everything's going on. And, you know, I really, 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 how do I say this in the right way? Boy, the church is needy, isn't it? Isn't the church needy? And it always amazes me of how for most of us, Christianity, Christ in particular, is an add-on to our lives. Not really, what would you say it, Randy? Not really the battery charger, not really the power source, but just kind of an accessory. Christianity and Christ has become an accessory to our life, and an add-on, something you go to Walmart and pick up and bring home with you. And you go to church on Sunday and you recharge that thing and you pray that it gets you through the rest of the week. But for the most part, when Jesus said to us, thank you, Lord, that we were the salt of the earth, what did that even mean? What does that even mean? Or better yet, how do you recognize a Christian? How do you recognize one? Because truth is, most of us self-identify, don't we? I don't know if Randy Lunsford's a Christian. He tells me he is. I don't know if Jeff Nell is. He tells me he is. I don't know if JR is. He tells me he is. I don't know if James Bruner's a Christian. He tells me he is. How do I really know? You say, well, Coach, you'll know them by their fruit. Okay, well, what would that look like? And I was struck again this weekend that, you know, when we did the Dizdar conference and, you know, we had probably 175 people in the room, I was struck again about, I'm sorry, how powerless most of us really are. Can somebody say amen so I know that I'm not just talking to myself today? For the most part, we call ourselves Christians and serve the King of Kings, and we're powerless. We're powerless over so many things in our lives. And I had a conversation yesterday with regarding the whole idea of joy. What is joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And most of us, where does our joy come from? Is the Lord your strength? Is the joy of the Lord your strength, or is the joy of your stuff your strength? Is the joy of your circumstances your? Is there false joy? Is there false strength out there? A lot of things I want to talk about. It's kind of ironic. I sat down. I used to hand these little things, these little bags out when I would go speak. I was a salt man back in the days when I was kind of blind and thought I knew it all. That's a little salt shaker. I used to hand these little salt shakers out. Got it from McDonald's. I didn't steal it. I would hand it to people and I'd do this illustration. I'd say, that thing's useless. Idea, this little bag of salt, it's useless. In fact, I got a whole bunch of them here. It's all useless. It's just a bag sitting here in my multi-million dollar studio, just a bag. In fact, it's little individual bags. So I could just use one of them at a time. But the Bible tells us that if the salt loses its savor, in other words, if it quits being salty, I don't know how long, I don't know. What can somebody explain to me? That's a rhetorical question because I know you can. Why'd they put this thing in a little bag? Well, they put it in a little bag because I might need to use it to make something salty. I might be eating some French fries or whatever it might be, and I might have to do this. I might have to tear that thing open, get the salt out of it. Because if the salt stays in there, it don't do anybody any good. That's most of us right there. That's most right there in that bag. That's most of us. I'm talking to me. To think that little granule of salt, I wish you guys could see, I have a better picture of this. That every one of those, if I took just even one of those little pieces right there, man, what it does to my entire mouth, just one little piece of it. Why aren't we trained to be this? And what would it mean? What would it look like? What would the world look like if we really were this? It's in my hand. I got a pile of it in my hand. If I were to take just that little pile right there and put that into my mouth, I'd have to yell at my wife, honey, I'm thirsty. Bring me something down here. To regulate your body. Makes you thirsty, changes the way things taste. You never get yourself a big piece of pizza and put salt on it and say, boy, does that salt taste like pizza? No, you say, boy, that pizza tastes like salt, doesn't it? Because the salt flavors everything that it comes in contact with. It regulates the body. Heals wounds. Salt does. Anybody ever say, quit pouring salt in a wound? No, that's a good thing. Because salt heals. And as I always said, my favorite is it kills slugs. You can go out and find an old slug, snail, dap, put a little bit of salt on top of him, he'd be dead. He'd be dead like that. So for no other reason than I've been reflecting a little bit over this weekend of how many Christians have no idea how to get out of that box. No idea. And they wouldn't know what to do if they did. And how many Christians included need it. And we don't have any idea how to hand it out. In fact, we've been told we're not supposed to. I've got salt all over the place. That's all right. We've been told we're not supposed to. We've been told that that's being judgmental and hateful. And who are you to judge? And as a result, I've been trodden under the foot of man, cast out. Christian and Christianity. One of the things I admire about Jeff Nell is even though Jeff hands out the salt by the dump truck loads and they don't like it, he keeps dumping it. And there's nothing worse if you take it. I'm sorry, I wish you could see my hand. If this was laying, wow. I don't know if you can see it. If I walked into a room that was laying on the table, I wouldn't know whether that's sugar or salt. Would you guys know? Because they look the same, don't they? And see, Christianity's become sugar. Pretend salt, we call it. On the shirt that we sell, truth sounds like hate. We said, conservatism's pretend salt. It's, what's that sugar stuff you get that doesn't have any calories in it and you sprinkle it on Equate or something like that, right? Splenda? Yeah, Splenda. Splenda's fake sugar. It tricks your taste buds. Conservatism is fake salt. Tricks your taste buds. Makes you think you're being a Christian when you're not. Counterfeit. Well, here's the good news. The world's going to demand, and the Lord's going to demand that the real stuff get out of the salt shaker. It's going to have to get out, boys and girls. The fake salt ain't going to cut it. The conservatism of Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, name him, Chuck Grassley,
Coach,
ain't going to cut it. Yes, sir. Come on in, whoever started. Mark, go ahead.
Remember when we went to the Georgia Guidestones, Randy buried 5 smooth stones. Why'd he do that?
Why'd you do that, Randy?
Why'd you do that? They're crying out to God. They changed the frequency of that place. Do you know salt is a salt's a crystal, Coach?
Oh, Mark, I hate it when you do this to me.
All right. You know salt resonates at 8 to 10 hertz?
No.
You know what the Schumann resonance is?
No.
8 to 10 hertz.
Eight to ten
hertz. Mm. Salt's healing. We're the salt of the earth, made of earth. Salt comes from earth. It's a crystal. Salt's a godly thing. It's not just a word.
That's right. Mark, salt impacts everything it comes in contact with. Everything. And we refuse to be it. Because we pour the salt on the slug and the slug screams and we say, oh, who are you to judge? And so we say, well, I don't want to offend them. I'll let them, let me throw a little bit of sugar on, let me put a little Splenda on them and tell them it's Christianity and it's all okay. And I'm like Mark, I came away from that event this week. Did you guys watch the video? Did you guys watch the video on our website about the child trafficking? Did you watch that? And most of us, it didn't impact us one way or another. Didn't impact us. So I want to encourage you. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to stay on in a minute. I encourage us to be more salty. You know what Jesus said? He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward, for so persecuted prophets which were before me. You are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5, pull that up real quick, Jared, if you could. And so it seems to me like Jesus isn't telling us to be molasses or sugar or Splenda. Seems to me he's telling us, when you go out there and you become that salt shaker and you get that salt out of the salt shaker, seems to me people ain't going to like it. Jared, go down to about verse 8. See what we got here. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is. How do you get persecuted for righteousness? Folks, ask yourself that. How do you get persecuted for righteousness' sake? How does that happen? What does that look like, being persecuted for righteousness' sake? What does it mean to be righteous? What does that mean? Jared, that might be a good, I'm swinging from the hip here. That might be a good Webster dictionary thing. What is righteousness? Righteousness is purity of heart, restitute of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Man, that's a mic drop, isn't it? Conformity of your heart and your life to the divine law. Righteousness is used in scripture and theology, in which it's chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness. Comprehending holy principles and affections of the heart and conformity of life, the divine law. Includes all we call, justice, honesty, virtue, with holy affections. In short, it's true religion. And applied to God, it's the perfection of his holiness, of his nature. It's the act and passive the active and passive obedience of Christ by which the law is fulfilled. The law is fulfilled through righteousness. What's righteousness? What was it again? Honesty, justice, virtue. Justice is equality between man and man. And the cause of our justification, the Lord makes us righteous. Wow. Christianity righteous today, boys and girls? Is it? Is your local church striving for righteousness? Is your local church striving to, to call for justice and not social justice? Anytime you put something in front of justice, it ain't justice. Justice is justice. It's not social justice. It's not racial justice. It's not class justice. It's not justice is justice, right? Honesty, virtue, justice. So ask ourselves today, if we're the salt of the earth, do we call for any of those? And who in their right mind would have convinced us that we're not supposed to, if we're the salt of the earth, strive for these things? And in fact, it would seem to me, somebody help me out here, but righteousness demands nonconformity. It demands it. And we don't preach it. We don't act it. We don't walk it. So I was impacted this weekend by how many needy Christians I ran into. They're Christians. They say they are. I believe they are. My spirit bears witness with them. They have no power. No power. You know why that is? Matthew 5, 13, Jared. You got that up there? Matthew 5, back up there. Wow. Blessed are they which persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you. Remember, follow pronouns. Follow the pronouns. Not go. Okay, Lord, I got to do this teaching. Go back up. Go back up, Jared. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at this, folks. Look at this. Look at this. And seeing the multitudes, he went up the mountain. His disciples came to him. By the way, the Sermon on the Mount was delivered just to Jesus' disciples. We think he told everybody, but he says he went up the mountain. There's too many people that went up there. And his disciples came up to him. So just Jesus and his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount. And he opened his mouth. He said to him, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they. See, folks, he identifies conditions, not people. Do you see that? Mourning is a condition. Meekness is a condition. Hungering is a condition. Thirsting is a condition. Merciful is a condition. Purity in heart is a condition. And then all of a sudden, he changes it. Verse 10, blessed are they, there they are again, there's that word again, they. Blessed are they, blessed are they. And all of a sudden he flips the pronoun. Blessed are you. He makes it personal. Blessed are you when? When you get a big check in the mail? When your football team scores a touchdown? When your kids learn to ride a bike? I mean, those are all blessings, but is that when you're blessed? Not according to the Lord. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven? Then blessed are you. See, you can't be blessed by they. You have to be blessed by you. And how do you do that? Well, men are going to revile you and persecute you, and they're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. Because you're standing up for me. So rejoice. Don't be sad. Don't be sad about that. Say, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in that heavenly realm. In that kingdom man inside of you. Why? Because they did this to all the prophets. You're just in line here, bud. You're just in line. Why? Because you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, How can it ever be salty again? See, it doesn't say it can. It says, how can it? How can you, when salt loses its edge, how do you make it salty again? So how can you do it? So it can't. It's become, therefore, good for nothing. To be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Do you see the connection there, folks? Do you see the personal connection there to you? God bless Randy. I appreciate everything he does. God bless Mark Trump and everything he does. And James and everybody up on the... God bless y'all. God bless y'all. But you're blessed when men revile you, persecute you. Say, oh, man, it's not friendship, folks. It isn't friendship evangelism. Of course I want to be a friend. Of course I want to be kind. But the Lord doesn't mention one word here about kindness. He mentions salt. He says, you are the light of the world. You are. Did you guys see that magnificent moon this morning? My goodness, what a moon we have here in Ohio. Light of the world. It's not the moon's not the light of the world. You are. I am. We illuminate. And it says in verse 15 that no one calls themselves a Christian and goes hides their faith inside a church. They don't do that. No, they infiltrate the entire culture. They go teach schools, and they sit on school boards, and they go become congressmen and senators and businessmen. Why? Because that's what light does. You take light everywhere you go. You don't take that Christianity and put it on and put a bushel over it because it's offending somebody. Somebody's saying stuff about you. You don't do that. No, you say, you go put it up on that hill and you take the cover off of it and it gives light to all the house. And it says again, let your light, not theirs, not them, not they, your. Let your light so shine before who? In your prayer closet? No, let your light so shine before men. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven in heaven. Wow, 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 wow. So I'm going to pour it out. It's good for nothing. That's why we're the condition we're in. It's trodden. They're just walking the hell all over it. Amen. So JR, what'd you do last night at the JR went and was a little bit of salt last night in the city council meeting. What'd you do, JR?
I addressed the Delaware City Council here in Ohio. And basically, Coach, all I did was ask them to do two things. Number one was to consider passing a resolution that would protect citizens from being denied business goods and services because they cannot, or for that matter, won't wear a medical device or get a vax. And the second thing I said, and I noted that this has all been a one-sided conversation. It's just COVID bad, fear, 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 fear. And they won't let anybody give a contrary opinion. So I asked, because of the one-sided view, they had the health director there for Delaware County at the meeting before, but again, no counter opinion. And I asked them to consider having someone on like Sherry Tenpenny or Pam Popper that could give a counter opinion to what's going on. Yeah. I mentioned what this is doing to the community. And this is just, I mean, this is ripping. Not just America, but the world apart. It's friend from friend, neighbor from neighbor, family member from family member. There are family members that haven't been able to see their dying mothers, fathers, children because of this insanity. So I'm just pleading for a little common sense here and for our liberties and freedoms. Let's give us our liberties and freedoms back. I mean, our founders gave their all, families, their lives, so we could have these liberties that we're just fettering away. So anyway, that's how I addressed the city council last
night. So JR, did you tell them that the government and the world is being the salt of the church?
No, I didn't get to that point in the conversation, but hopefully we will.
That's the point. That is the point, right? That is the point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That we are allowing the world, the government, to influence the church. Folks, it's totally and completely, completely backwards. Completely backwards. Our churches ought to be standing up and put. I could go on with statistic after statistic about the phony COVID. I don't want to get into that. We all know that. Christians are the greatest. Christians are doing more to promote this foolishness. Come on in, Randy. Man, oh man. There you go.
Yeah, Coach. You're really on to something, Coach, with this correlation between salt and sugar. Coach, at that conference, Mike Adams, the health ranger, he's a pretty brilliant man. He's actually a scientist on the side. He's got a lab and all that. But he showed this, Coach, sugar. He showed what sugar does under the microscope. Sugar is really beautiful. It's actually a liquid, okay? We figured out a long time ago to make it a granular so we could use it easily. Okay, so Coach, the heat really changes it. Heat really changes sugar. High heat morphs sugar into it's beautiful under the microscope, but when it gets high heat, it morphs into a monster looking thing. It's totally what goes crazy. And salt doesn't, Coach. It melts and then it comes back to itself. So there's just, and even the science, Coach, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said this and spoke this. This is truth. This is truth. The salt is it comes back and it just keeps being salt. You can bring it back, you know.
Amen.
Except, you know, when it's trodden under, you know, when it's dead. But the thing with sugar, Coach, I'm almost done. Sugar, what he showed what sugar would do, even in the health side part of it. It's a killer. Sugar's a killer. Salt's good. And what does all this fake science say? Salt's terrible. Sugar is okay. Yep, and sugar's the real killer, Coach.
Randy, what's the church say? Church is saying the same thing, right?
And this church is sugar. They're killing us, Coach. This church that we see, the fake church, is killing the culture.
It's killing us, man.
There's such a correlation here.
We need some salt. Give us some salt. Give us some salt. Come on in, Vinny, then Dale. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's amazing to me that sugar has never been approved in all the years we've been using it. It's amazing that sugar still does the exact same thing it's done in the past, rot our teeth and make our body fat. I just find it amazing.
So, Vinny, you know, here's the salt. I'm not going to do this. But there isn't very much left in that shaker because it's spilling all over my Bible here, which is probably a good thing. Do you guys know that if I took this salt and I poured it in my mouth, it almost gagged me, wouldn't it? But yet I could take a spoonful of sugar and make the medicine go down. I could eat sugar and sugar and sugar and sugar and wouldn't even know that it's killing me because it makes the medicine go down, right?
Yes,
and so salt, as Randy just demonstrated, salt's always salt. It's just a matter of whether it's still good. So once you become a Christian, you're salt. By the way, I got to show this. This is why I love King James. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. I'll get you in there. Dale, get ready. I'm coming right to you. Look at this. Oh, boy. Verse 13. Get ready for a mic drop. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt have lost his. Folks, this ain't a he. This ain't a he. Salt ain't a he. But do you see what the Lord did? You aren't just a person anymore. You're not just a Christian anymore. You're not just saved. You are salt. He sees you and recognizes you as an influencer, as a flavor, as a slug killer to the culture. He said, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate it when you come by and you bring that. So they're going to hate it. Why? Because they hated all the guys came before you that were the salt. They hate it. This friendship evangelism. Boy. What? Huh? Christian diabetes. We have Christian diabetes. Come on in, Dale.
Oh, brother, man. This is like right up my alley of topic. Prior to me being a construction worker, I was in the food industry for a long time. I have my own recipes. I'm about to enlighten you and parallel salt and the sugar in the church. All right. Yep. This is what we see, right? The sugar in the church. Do you know what enhances the flavor of sugar? A little bit of salt. A little bit of salt. So, brother, when you look at, if you want to make something even more sweet, you add a little bit of truth to it. So the churches add a little bit of truth to their sugar, and they feeding it to the body of Christ. And I saw where Steve put it in there. He's absolutely right. Sugar is what manipulates into yeast, and it causes it to grow. But you know what keeps it in line is salt keeps yeast in control. Wow. Brother, we've got churches with a little bit of truth enhancing their sugary messages.
My goodness, Dale. So that's why Michelle and I, every morning, I make a little concoction when we get up in the morning, baking soda, which is a form of salt, I think, sodium, baking soda. I put a teaspoon of baking soda and a teaspoon of lemon juice into a cup and vinegar. And I stir it, put water in it, and I drink it. And you know what it does? Randy, it balances that PA, or whatever that stuff's called, pH. It balances that pH, that combination. It does make me gag, Steve. You're right. It makes me gag. But it's a great gag reflex, and it's good for my body. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I was just going to say, I get thinking about this as Randy made a comment, Dale made a comment about the sugar and salt. Well, guess what time it is? It's time to get the ice cream truck out on the street. So I got thinking about this. We'll take them out the sugar because that's what they all want. And then when we get them to the truck, we'll give them to the salt. I got thinking about that. I thought, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Hey, right? But you know,
get ready to hit the street.
But what happens, see, is our churches never give the salt. They never give it. It's sugar and sugar and sugar. And so you know what happens? It's like they get a big crowd because the sugar tastes good. And so therefore they think they're being successful. A little bit more sugar. Let's do some Easter egg drops. Let's hand out toys to the children. Let's get some jumpers things, those air things that kids can jump on. Let's give them sugar, because soon if we keep giving them sugar, just like Haman's ice cream stand in Hebron, Ohio, you go there in the morning until it closes at night, people are standing in line. Why? Because Haman's got great ice cream. It's great, and people keep coming back, and the business is booming. But see, the church isn't a business. It isn't a business. And so we're trying to draw people with sugar. And then when you throw a little bit of salt on it, they say, "Ooh, that's not very Christian. Christian is sugary. It's sugary." Christian.
Where do you get your joy? Yeah, where do you get your joy from?
Yep.
Sugar or salt, right?
Well, the better question is, in your life, I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. I got a lot of things going on. Y'all do, right? I woke up this morning just with a great, great feeling of joy. And I get up in the morning. I do some work. I had an amazing thing happen. I wasn't going to say this, but I think I'm going to say it now. Yeah, Debbie, comfort food. Church is comfort food, isn't it? I got to have Pastor Fred back on because we still have not come to the realization of the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law. It's a law. And you guys can take this however you want to. It doesn't matter how you take it. I went to the post office yesterday and I had a check. You know, I noticed usually our donors are the same donors month after month. You know, you recognize that people have sent you $25 again, $50 again. And thank God for all of you because it keeps the ministry flowing, right? And I went to the post office yesterday, and I'd never seen the address on it before. I'd never seen anything. And I'm thinking, well, here we go. It's one of these homos to send me homo pictures and, you know, erect penises. All right. So I always open them. And I opened this one. This one was a little bit different. This was a, what do they call it? An IRA distribution. What? Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, I got one of the largest checks Past Assault Ministries ever got from an IRA distribution from somebody that says, Coach, I appreciate what you do. Keep it up. Boom.
Amen.
And I thought, Lord, what happened? What the heck, Lord? And then I thought, wow. You know what Past Assault Ministries just did for David Arthur? It's a law. It's a law. It's a law. It flowed into us and through us, and it was a law. And out of nowhere comes this IRA distribution for somebody who said, I got enough money. Let me send it to. I hope you understand the heart that I'm telling you with, right? And I sat down in my chair this morning with the joy all over me, and I looked, moon's up, most unbelievable thing, and the moon's up. I look, and coming down the hallway is the joy of my life. That sweet little brunette that I've been married to for 41 years. I was just overcome with joy. I got a lot of pain in the asses going on in my life, okay? But what does the Bible say? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Can't take it away.
Amen, Coach.
And it's not just enjoyment or pleasure or whatever the thing is. And the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. What is the joy of the Lord? What is the joy of the Lord? As opposed to the joy of getting a new car, the joy of seeing your son hit his first home run, or the joy of having all your bills paid. Is it worldly joy? Or is it the joy of the Lord? Because the joy of the Lord is strength. The joy of the world isn't. That's why you sing that song, this joy that I have, the Lord didn't give it to me. Joy didn't give it to me, right? And what's going on in the church, I believe, is we're teaching people that joy comes from sugar. And then sugar. Saying nice things and hearing nice things and no. The joy of the Lord, let me give you an example. I could give you 1,000 examples. But I'll give you this one. And please don't, folks, this is just salt, okay? This doesn't mean to convict anybody, but this is what salt feels like, right? I just sit here and I wonder, how many of you here in this queue, is 104 in the queue, who knows how many are listening? I wonder how many of you didn't send $1 to help David Arthur. And why didn't you? Because you are connected to the joy of the world. And you said, you know, golly, I'd like to give David Arthur 10 bucks, but golly, you know, I got to make these payments on this credit card I ran, or whatever it might be, right? Oh, I won't do it. I'll let Roger do it. I'll let somebody else do it. And see, it's the old law of sowing and reaping again. You missed out on the joy of the Lord. to be able to say, man, David Arthur's driving that fancy car. Lord, thank you for letting me be part of that, Lord. Gee, Lord, thank you. I'm connected here to another source. I'm connected to the Lord, and that's my strength, and the world can't sap it away from me. They can't take it away from me. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you the truth. You missed out on the joy of watching David Arthur being able to get in that car and drive down the road because you gave $10.
Amen, Coach.
Golly. Come on in, David. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I see you want to get
that
in.
I did. You know, I went into a couple asked me to come to a church business meeting the other day, and I went and I told them how they were loving people straight to hell, loving them to death. And then they kindly told me that it was a church business meeting and they were getting ready to speak of matters that, you know, weren't open to anyone outside of the church business faculty. So they kindly asked me to leave, but that's what salt feels like, right?
Yes.
So if you want to know what salt feels like, go get something, cut your finger open and dip your finger in a thing of salt. Cause that's what it feels like. It's going to burn like hell. And then guess what? That salt has the properties to heal that wound. So that's what salt feels like. And when I ask people to give, you know, it really struck me the other morning. I came on, I popped on your show and you were showing, and you said, you know, just as I came in, you said, David Arthur's heading to North Carolina, you know, help him out, send him a few bucks, help him out. And now, not that it matters, right? But almost every time you say that, people do. That day, no one did. And it was okay because I sent out an email to somebody and I said, listen, I need some help. And they said, what do you need? And they took care of it. And when we ask people to give and when people are, it's not about, well, David, if the Lord is in it, he'll provide.
Yeah, oh,
well,
yeah.
He does provide. How does he do it? Through his own. It's Amen. Simple.
Amen, David. Amen.
But see, we're missing the point. See, ultimately, at the base of it, in our own hearts, folks, we're really, really selfish. We're really selfish. When I say, listen, I need David Arthur needs a new car, and could some of you give $10? The first thing, your automated response is you think of what is it going to cost me.
Or they say David Arthur needs to get a job.
Yeah.
Can you say that you get more joy from not giving because you choose which joy you're seeking?
That's right.
It would make me feel better if I didn't sacrifice my dollars. So I'm going to seek that level of joy. Where does that source? See, you're not getting joy from the Lord for giving. So you're joyful for not giving. Or maybe you feel bad for not giving. Guilt, because you can't give for whatever reason. Where does guilt come from? Not the devil. Not the devil. Guilt is you turning from what you can't do or something the devil wants you to do bad. Guilt is a beginning of repentance in that case.
Guilt is evidence that there's still a little bit of salt in there is what I think. Hey, I want everybody to relax here a minute because I'm not asking you to give any money, okay? I'm not asking you to give a cent. I'm trying to help you to understand that what we are all dealing with, thank you, Pastor Fred, is a heart issue. Our initial reaction when it comes, somebody said to me the other day, because we're going to Kentucky. I want the last 3 weeks. I have six beautiful grandchildren that I love being around, and I'd love to bundle them up and take them out and play and do all that stuff. And the easiest time to do that on the weekend, right? I was in Boston. I had that event last week. I'm going to go to Kentucky this weekend. I'm going to go someplace next weekend. And somebody said to me, just stay home. They can do it without you. And I said, yeah, they can. That's not the point. That's not the point. They can do it without me. But What can I add to it if I go? So it's a mindset, see? It's a mindset. To come to the realization that ultimately your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and it wants more than anything to serve you. Your heart wants you served. Man, it's good stuff. That's good stuff. Let's see, the popping up in there. Jeff, did you want to get in? Your hand's still up there.
Yeah.
And
I'll add this about the ice cream truck. I tell people, I share with them. Last summer, when we first hit the streets with it, 5 evenings, 2 hours an evening, that's 10 hours total. When I kept track for that week, just to see what numbers we run, we reached, of kids and adults, 360 in 10 hours. And then, now, Rob, I'm going to use this, what you're talking about. Roger Weaver just called me yesterday again. And he sent, maybe a month ago, he sent a check to the church for the ice cream truck. He called me yesterday and said, hey, I sent another check. He said, get ready, get that truck loaded. I got you some money up there. He said, and also, not only send money, he said, let me know which day you're going to be out. I want to come up there and get in that ice cream truck with you. So he's getting a double whammy. He's going to send the money to bless the kids. Then he's going to come up and jump in that ice cream truck. But, Coach, we'll start using that thing locally here. If you got something in Newark, like the church down there, I'm going to take it down to that guy's church when they do the big feed that day outside their church. We'll drive it down there. We'll drive it to Mansfield. We'll drive it wherever if somebody wants us to come with that thing. It's great.
It's all good. But here's the thing. Well, I'll be careful what I say there. Come on in, Debbie, then Joe Allen, then Myra.
Well, I have two quick things. One, when I left your house last night, I just kicked myself for not taking a picture of you and those grandbabies on the sofa.
It was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wish I had taken that in the moment past.
Yep,
the other thing was about the widow's mite. You know, she gave all she could.
Yep.
And it was painful. And I don't know if it's biblical or not, but I've heard so many times people will say, you know, if it's inconvenient, if it's a hardship for you, yet you go and do what the Lord has asked you to do, He is so much happier. You are so blessed because it was inconvenient for you and it was hard, but you showed God that you went anyway.
To obey is better than to sacrifice, right?
Right.
Think about your own children, right? Isn't it obedience that blesses your heart when you see them do something you didn't make them do? Why is this so hard to get through our thick head? Bless you, Debbie.
The thing is, our first instinct is to conserve what we have for ourselves.
It's us, selfish, right? That carnal nature that we talk a lot about.
Right. And when you give, it's like, I don't think there's any better experience that you can ever have.
Joy! Joy! That's what we're talking about. That's the joy of the Lord, right? That's the joy of the Lord. Come on in, Joseph. And Myra.
Coach, this past weekend was a blessing.
Yes, it was, buddy.
And then I will express to everybody the hardship. It wasn't really a hardship, but it was a lot of undertaking for Coach and Michelle to put this on. The venue is huge. You know, Russ Dizdar had his moment there. But we, Past Assault Ministry has a mission, a new mission now. And Coach is a little bit too humble to say it. But we got a community center that we want to build. And we need to start a foundation for it. And this is a new mission for us. And if everybody see it in your heart, we won't have to look for no other place no more.
Amen.
Once we get this built.
Amen, Joe.
We don't have coaches' frustration, Michelle's frustration. They can walk across the property, and we'll have our community center.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Joe. All right, folks, this wasn't a setup. This wasn't a setup. I want you to know I wasn't setting up trying to get in your pocket. It's just true. And we'll talk more about that later. We want to put up a pool barn building that we can. Yeah, we'll explain that later. Thanks, Joe. Myra, come on in.
Yes. Good morning, Saints. I love you all. I wanted to say that we're a family at the huddle and we all support each other. This weekend, I felt the love from so many people from the huddle and their help. Coach and Michelle, Mark Trump helped me tremendously, and everybody else. It was just the whole event was full of love, and that's what we are at Salt Ministry. We all love each other, and I just want to read a Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man accordingly as the purpose of his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And that's what I experienced this week, and I keep experiencing that every time I meet with the family at the huddle. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen, Byron. And here's the line that I usually use, because I have people come to me all the time. I don't know how I got on this, but let me finish it up. People come to me all the time. I do something for somebody, and oh, they're just so thankful and so grateful. If I send somebody a Pass the Salt Ministry, send somebody a financial assistance, oh, they're all so grateful. Yeah. And you know, I just say one simple thing, and then they just look at me with kind of a blank stare. I said, hey, you'd do it for me, wouldn't you? That's pretty simple, isn't it? You'd do it for me, wouldn't you? And you know why they get a check in their spirit? Because they wonder, would I really? Would I? I hope you would, because that's the joy of the Lord. Come on in, Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. I'll be quick. I think you made the point, but I just wanted to say it this way. With your sugar and salt analogy, the sugar is happiness and the salt is joy.
Wow, is that bingo? They're not the same, are they? No, boy, joy is much deeper than happiness, boy. Joy is unspeakable and full of glory, man. You can't even, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Man, oh, man. Yeah, I don't want to be happy. David Arthur said he didn't want to be happy, wants to be holy. Amen. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say, coming to Ohio, I had joy because I have my family. I have Christ. But you guys added a lot of salt to my life. You really did. Meeting all of you, this weekend was amazing. I felt the love from so many, and I think this is what brought my life so much more. It just expounded on so much more, and I just want to say thank you to all of you.
Well, amen, Reggie, and we're glad to have you on the team. And folks, listen, I never look. You are where you are. All right. And I don't want you to ever come on here and think that we're beating you up, because we have a tendency a lot of times take things personally, right? So, well, they were talking about me. No. Listen, friends, when you think we're talking about you, it's because it's the Holy Spirit poking you in the chest. I don't have you in mind. I don't get up in the morning and wonder who I'm going to offend today, or think, boy, I can't wait. Boy, as soon as I get in there, I'm going to get David Arthur. I'm going to put him in his place. I'm going to get that Jeff Klein. I don't think like that. We come down here today and we start talking about salt and sugar and all that kind of stuff. And if you're uncomfortable, it ain't me. Don't blame me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what Mark Trump said. There's something inside of you that says, whoa, I feel guilty here. I feel guilty, right? Right? Thank God for conviction. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'll tell him that. Thank you, Lord. And I've shared this before. Some of you today, over the course of this, golly, it's been 54 minutes already. Some of you have felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but you've taken it as condemnation. Those are not the same. The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes and it illuminates, dare I say it, a sense of guilt in you. That's conviction. When the devil comes, The Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not conviction. Thank God for conviction. Conviction is evidence your conscience is working. That's conviction. Condemnation is when David Arthur gets through speaking and he goes and he sits down and then that voice starts to say to him, oh, there you went again, huh? I told you, you shouldn't go there, huh? Well, who do you think you are? You're getting up there, and that lady in the third row, that's condemnation. The devil comes with a club to beat you over the head. That's condemnation. And if you don't know the difference between conviction and condemnation, you're going to be a miserable Christian. Because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to continually remind you of where you have fallen short. Debbie was saying, I was sitting on the couch last night, got half of my grandbaby sitting around. They're just sitting as tight as me to me as they could. And when little Annie was going to spill her drink, I kindly reached over and grabbed her. Said, be careful, Annie. Be careful now. You don't want to spill your drink. That's conviction, Annie. Condemnation would be, Annie, how many times am I going to tell you, Annie? You understand the difference? You have to learn the voice of God to hear whether it's the Holy Spirit giving you conviction or the wicked one condemning you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't mean that the salt of the Holy Spirit isn't going to convict you. Make you get that pit in your stomach sometimes. Just doesn't mean that. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, when I realized I was living in God's kingdom, when I understood that everything I have, everything I do is part of his kingdom, it blesses his kingdom. It produces in his kingdom. And coach, that's how I look at it. When I can jump in there and Larry needs $500, I just get like, I'll send it. He needs it. It's part of the kingdom.
That's right. You
know, Bobby Lee, all these people that are doing things that are just, I mean, whenever God speaks to your heart, just write a check, send it to them because it will produce. Because
Amen.
It's part of the kingdom. It's bigger than you. and then the joy, everyone participates in the joy from it, coach. It's a picture.
Amen. So listen, folks, please. How do I say that in a way that they'll get this? Listen, I don't want your money. This isn't about your money. But if you believe what Fred Mosley was teaching us, that giving, give and it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, running, is not just money. If you understand it is a law, it's a law. This check comes out of nowhere. Why? Because we've given. It's a law. It makes a connection. It brings a power. Don't give because you think we need money. Give because it's a law. And not just money, time, resources, prayer. Why is it as soon as we think give, we think money? So many more ways to give rather than money. But if there's so many more ways to give rather than money, why do you get so bound up over giving money?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Something everybody could give this morning, again, daily, prayers for Ricky. We're hauling Vicky over there daily. We're making visits to him every day. So just pray for Ricky Miller today again, everybody.
We do, man. We're holding up Ricky, and Lord, just have your will be done. And Larry's wife. Folks, there are so many people bearing burdens. This joy that I had, the world didn't give it to me. I didn't get the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Does that mean that when I make the Lord joyful, the joy of the Lord, when I put a smile on his face, something big happens for me? Is that what that means? That the joy of the Lord, when I do something that puts a smile on the face of the Lord, does that ignite hit battery and shoot something back. I don't know. But I know this. You put a smile on the face of the Lord, it strengthens you. I can't explain how, but it does. Wow. A lot to ponder. God bless you. See you tomorrow.